Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. How many of you know we serve a good God? Amen. And I tell you what, we need to be sensitive to Him. Amen. Sensitive to His will. Sensitive to His purposes. Amen. Sensitive to His plans. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about the subject of prayer this evening. Amen. Why pray? We started talking about it last week. We'll pick up where we left off. Thought I had some new things to say along the lines of prayer, talking about our rights and privileges in prayer, how God can do nothing, and I do mean nothing, unless a man asks Him. He's delegated that authority over to man. And go over scriptural evidence to prove that point. But I feel led in my heart to just kind of stay on what we were on last week and talk about that. Amen. I don't have just a ton of information, so we'll see exactly where the Lord leads us. But all I can do is say what He's told me to say. Such as I have, give I thee. Amen. Open up your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. And let's look here at a particular verse of Scripture in verse 12. And if on the screens, if you can pull up the book of Psalms, chapter 37 and verse 7. Psalms 37 and verse 7 on the screens. We're going to the book of Colossians, chapter 4 and verse 12. In the book of Colossians, Paul writes in verse 12 of chapter 4, and says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Notice this next phrase. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Notice, Epaphras is doing something. He's always laboring fervently for the church at Colossae in prayer. Why? Notice. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Notice, Epaphras, who's always working, who's laboring fervently for the individuals here in prayer, is praying consistently for them that they'll stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That tells me something. It should tell you something. That you're not going to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God unless there is prayer being made. Amen. Your life, your children's life, your organization, your business, your career, your church, it will not stand perfect and complete in all the will of God unless somebody somewhere is praying. And our goal is for us, I hesitate to say, to stir us up to pray more because I don't know how much anybody's praying. But for all of us to pray the amount that we know in our heart we should pray. For us to be stirred up about the power of prayer. And to realize that there's some things in your life that may be lacking and may be missing, some gaps there, that don't have to be that way. That prayer can come in and fill in those gaps. And prayer can come in and fill up that place. Amen. Turn your life in the right direction. You and I will never stand perfect and complete in all the will of God unless prayer is being made. This past, I guess it was Monday morning. Yeah, it was. I woke up. I was intending to sleep in. But I woke up early, about 5 o'clock. And as I was trying to gonna get back in bed. And as I was, I don't know why, but I was thinking about church growth. You know, just like you in your business or in your career. You want to see it grow. You want to see it develop. Well, any pastor of any church wants to see the church grow, see the church develop. And as I was getting back in bed, That was what was on my mind. And the Lord spoke to my heart. I mean, as clear as I'm talking now, just on the inside. He said, you do realize that when you get to heaven, you're not going to be judged by how many people are in your church. He said, you're going to be judged by whether or not you did my will. He said, you make your focus doing my will, and everything else will take care of itself. And I know that to be true because I've seen that happen in my life up to this point. Your job, my job, is to do the will of God. It's to accomplish it. It's to do it. It's to see it done in the earth. And you will be judged in this life and in the next according to whether or not you did do the will of God. Amen. And to do the will of God, the only way we can is to pray. If we're going to stand perfect and complete in it, there's going to have to be prayer that's made. See, so oftentimes people just live life. And we said last week, the reason why we pray, one of the reasons, it's not the only reason, there are a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons why we pray is because it's in prayer where the will of the Lord is revealed. It's in prayer where the will of the Lord comes with clarity. And if you don't take the time to pray and to seek out the Lord concerning His will for your life, it's not just going to fall on you like ripe cherries off of a cherry tree. You've got to take the time to open up your heart to receive instruction. The plan of God for your life, the plan of God for my life, is awaiting your call. It's awaiting you to call on the Lord and ask Him to show Him, to show you your will and His will for your life. It's awaiting your call. Amen. The plan of God for your life is awaiting your call. And we've got to learn to operate only in this life according to the will of God. In fact, the title of this tonight's message is Inspiration or Perspiration. You choose. Are you going to live life off of inspiration, or are you going to live it off of perspiration? Perspiration is where you're working to get something done. It's where you put your hand to something and you try to build it, but after you've built it, it not only took a toll on you, but you built it in vain because it wasn't the will of the Lord to begin with. Perspiration, that leads to a hard life. It leads to a life where things, no matter how hard you work, you're tired and everyone else who's in your life is tired because we're frustrating the will of God. Perspiration. It's hard, it's difficult, it stresses us out. We live for the breaks in between the work. Life is not play, it's not enjoyable, it's just work. Work in the morning, work at night, raising the family's work, being married's work. It's because the will of the Lord is not taking place. That's a dangerous place to be. Because oftentimes, not only does it lead to work and frustration, it leads to devastation. Careers get destroyed, marriages get destroyed, and people get destroyed because they're absolutely miserable. Perspiration. Just work, 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 work. Inspiration is a completely different way of living. Inspiration, yes, it has work in it. You're never going to distance yourself from it. If you don't work, you don't eat. But your work is enjoyable. Your work is easy. In a good way. Your work is anointed. Why? You're called to do it. You're operating from inspiration. God's spoken to your heart. You know what to do. You know what the next step in your career is. You know what your relationships need to look like. You've seen with clarity what the next stage is for life. You know what it is. And then from that point, you just do what you know. Friend, I'm telling you, I think our track record proves for itself. I took over this church at 19 years old. I didn't know anything. I mean, that's probably an exaggeration. I knew something. But not near what I needed to know. And friend, I'm telling you, God has taken us from that place in the span of about 8 years, 7, 8 years, all the way to this place. And people come, and other pastors, they want to come and ask us what we're doing. That's a part of what the job description and the destiny is for this church, is to be a prototype church to help other churches. Amen. To show them some of the things that we're doing, to help them, be a blessing to them. Amen. God's taken the foolish things of this world and confounded the wise. All the experts who now call us and ask us for help are the same people who said that we'd never make it. And you want to help them, and we have strategies and things that can. But what it comes down to it, and this is a fact, what it comes down is to it, is for the first couple of years of this ministry, I operated solely in perspiration, hard work, hard study, hard praying, just trying to do anything to make it work, trying to do anything to make it click. And finally, and I could go into details in it, but we just take up time, make a long story short, I realize the secret to life is inquiring of the Lord, waiting until you know what to do from Him, and then just doing it. Friend, I'm telling you, that's how you grow a church in a nutshell. That's how you grow a ministry in a nutshell. That's how you live a good life in a nutshell. Inquire of the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And then not doing anything until you know what He wants you to do. Now, when I say not do anything, I don't mean quit work and just sit on your rear in a lazy boy watching TV. No, you do what you know to do. Amen. You do what you know to do. But you don't step out and just experiment and try stuff. You wait on the Lord. Friends, I'm telling you, the reason why there's so many people struggling today is because no one knows the plan of God. They don't know it. And the reason why they don't know it, it's not because God's not wanting to give it. It's because people aren't legitimately taking the time to seek out the will of the Lord in prayer. It takes time, friend. All throughout the scriptures, especially in the book of Psalms, you see where it talks about God establishing man's ways. You know what comes before that? Before God is establishing man's ways, it's man taking the time to wait on the Lord. We see an example here in Psalms 37 and verse 7. It says, I love this, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest in Him. Friend, once again, are we operating under inspiration or perspiration? God didn't intend anything in your life to be a struggle day in and day out. Yeah, you're going to have obstacles that you have to overcome, but you overcome them. You walk right through them. And the reason why the struggle exists is because man hasn't rested over in the Lord and waited patiently for Him. Friends, in this life, you don't make a move until you're absolutely certain you know from God what to do. And the only way He's ever going to reveal it to you is when you make yourself sensitive to Him in prayer. Brother Hagin wrote a book entitled Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. And he said some things in this book that I thought were absolutely wonderful. He said, as I've already mentioned, when this visitation with the Lord began, I kept praying out the words, plans, purposes, and pursuits. When that last English word escaped my lips, I was caught away with Jesus. And I began to see how men devise their own plans. It's the truth. Men devise their own plans. They come up with what they want to do. And he says, thoughts raced through my mind as I considered man's plans. Good, maybe thoroughly scriptural, but not God's plans for them. In contrast to man's plans, I could see God's plan. The Lord spoke to me and said, I bless all of my people as far as I can. It's the truth. How many of you know, even with your children, you should help them as far as you can? Amen. But he says, but the reason there is not the move of God and the depth of the flow of the Spirit and the fullness of the manifestation of the Holy Ghost today is because men do not take the time to hear from me. And they do not take the time to follow my plan set forth. the more closely you follow my plan, the more power will be in demonstration and in manifestation. Many times the reason people fell and the reason why ministries fell is because they had the wrong plan, the wrong purpose, and the wrong motive. He goes on to say some other things I could take the time to read, but I won't. It's a good book. If you want to get it, you can. It's called Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. But friends, I got to ask myself this question. I suppose you got to ask yourself this question too. Whose plan am I actually living out? Am I doing his plan? We've said this before, but I want to keep emphasizing it. His plan, it is the blessed plan. You know, you hear it all the time, and so often it's just preacher hype, and it goes right over the people's heads. For every vision that God gives you, there is provision. There is provision. When you do the vision God has for you, provision is not something you're having to scrape up. It's not something you're having to scrounge up. It's built into the vision. It's built into the plan. And our job is to not just labor in prayer and ask God to bless our plan. Our job in prayer is to wait on the Lord to find out what His plan is. You ought to spend probably 75% of your prayer life praying to pray. You know what I mean by that? Instead of just going into the prayer closet and praying away everything that comes to your mind, you pray to pray. I'm telling you what, that's probably 75, if not higher than that, a percentage of what I do in prayer. I'm praying to pray. Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to pray? What do you want me to do? I'm praying to ask Him to help me pray. Why? Because I don't want to just take and manipulate my own desires and throw it off on God. James said that's the reason why our prayers aren't getting answered, because we ask amiss that we may spend it on our own lust. He says you have not because you ask not. And most of the time that's where preachers stop. Well, you got to ask God. If you want something, you got to ask God. And it's the truth, but He didn't stop there. He said, and you ask, but you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own lust. And He was giving the implication. That's why prayers aren't being answered. Is they're praying about solely what they want. Friend, you spend time in prayer and clarity comes to your heart. I'm not talking about God speaking to you out of a burning bush or an angel appearing to you. I'm talking about clarity in your own heart where you know what to do. You know His desires. I think it was Charles Spurgeon, who said it's in prayer where God writes the desires on your heart. Well, what's He doing? He's giving author to the plan of God on the inside of you. Just the other day, me and my wife, we always had something that we always wanted. And we got it on vision lists and all that kind of thing, vision board, believe in that. But I tell you what, I was praying as clear as day, and while I was praying, that desire in my heart floated away like a bird. I mean, just I wasn't thinking about it, but just on the inside, it just lifted. I came to my wife and said, you know what, I don't think we need to believe God for that. And she said, I was thinking about that just the other day. Well, was it a big thing? Not necessarily. But it was something that could eat away at the other things that God wants and the other things that He wants done. Well, it's in prayer where clarity comes. Go over to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. I never would have known that had we not been in prayer. And then what happens? People go to chasing those things and they wear themselves out trying to chase it. Isaiah chapter 30. And let's read here in verse 15, Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. It says, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. and you would not. But you said, no, for we'll flee upon horses. What's he talking about? We'll go fast. We want to go fast. We'll flee upon horses. We'll ride with flee. We will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they pursue you, that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord God is a God of judgment, and blessed are all they that wait for him. Notice he starts out in verse 15. Let's read it again. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, and returning in rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. What's he saying? This whole passage is about waiting on the Lord, not just stepping out when you want to step out, not just going after something because you want it, not just trying to live a bigger life because you want it now. He's saying you need to wait on me. You got to return and rest in me. But he said these people, all they want is they want it fast. They want to get in it and they want it now. And they're going to press and they're going to go their own way. And he said, little do they know that because they're doing that, their enemies will overtake them fast. And they'll fall over into a place of complete fear where they're fleeing. 1,000 of them are fleeing at one. Why? Because they wanted it now and they were going to do anything that they wanted to do to get it now. And God was saying, look, I want you to wait on me. Rest over in me. You don't have to have it now. Be patient. How many of you know Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says that we are to run our race with patience. You got to be patient with the Lord. And friends, I'm telling you where people are missing it. I mean where they're missing it is they're not getting their bearings first. You know what I mean by that? Before you launch out, you got to get your bearings. I heard Oral Roberts talking about this. I was reading this a book that he wrote. And he was talking about the Apostle Paul. And he was saying, you know, Paul had a miraculous moment with the Lord where the Lord appeared to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, he had a miraculous conversion. You know, right after that, Paul didn't just jump into ministry. A lot of people think he did. You know, he didn't just jump in and say, well, I've got this miraculous call from the Lord. Better go run over and start evangelizing the world. You know, he didn't do that. You know, David, after the prophet came to his house, anointed him to be king over the nation of Israel. You know what David did? You know, he didn't march over into the king's castle and say, you need to get off my throne. I'm the next king. Where's the man of God? He prophesied it around here somewhere. You know, he didn't. You know what he did? He went back out into the sheepfold. He almost acted as if it never happened. What's he doing? He's getting his bearings. You know, Paul did the same thing. Go over to Galatians. Galatians, I'll show you in Scripture. Book of Galatians. A lot of people don't know this. Galatians chapter 1, Paul had this conversion, he had this experience, but he didn't just jump in and start evangelizing the world. Galatians chapter 1, and notice in verse 15, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Notice, he has this experience. He says, immediately I did something. Immediately I printed up some business cards with Paul, world evangelist, written on it. All my contact information. And went out to the church growth seminar and contacted as many people as I could. And got my information in their hands so they knew who to call. No, what did he do? Immediately, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. How many of you know there are some things you ought not talk to people about? Why? It'll confuse you. Neither went I up unto Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. Didn't go see them either. But I went out into Arabia, the desert, and returned again unto Damascus. Verse 18. Then after 3 years, everyone say 3 years. 3 years after he has this experience. 3 years after God appears to him and knocks him off his high horse and tells him he's going to be an apostle. 3 years after that. Notice what happened. I went up unto Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brethren. Now the things which I write unto you before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was known by faith unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. When did he go into the churches? After 3 years of being out in the desert. Why? He's getting his bearings. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? What's the next step I need to take, Lord? What's the next area? I know there's something. What is it, Lord? And he didn't move until he knew. Think of Jesus, God's own son, 30 years of age. It's time to step into ministry. He goes out there with John the Baptist. He dunks him. He gets up. The Holy Spirit comes down on Jesus' head like a dove. And right after that, Jesus started healing all the sick. No, you know what he did? He went over into the wilderness for 40 days where he didn't see anyone. And for 40 days was out there. What's he doing? He's getting his bearings. What's the next step? What do I need to do? You know what he did after that? He came out from there and he knew immediately, these are the 12 men I need with me. Picked them, said, come follow me. Went up into a mountain, called them unto him. Asked them to come follow him. And they did. How'd he know to do that? How'd he know who to pick? How'd he know if he told these 12 men to come follow him that they'd forsake all? He got his bearings, friend. He knew what God wanted him to do, and that plan's already blessed. How'd he know it? 40 days in prayer. Why did Paul, out of all the people, all the people God could have used to write 3/4 of the New Testament, why in the world did he pick Paul? Because Paul spent 3 years out in the desert getting his bearings. He knew what his course was. I'm running my race. I'm going to finish my course. He knew what it was. How'd he know? He got his bearings out there in the desert in Damascus. The reason why so many people are struggling is they never got their bearings. Brother Oral Roberts was talking about this. He said, for 12 years he was doing different things in ministry. Just different things. Wanted to dive into the depths of what God had for him. He knew in his heart. There was something more for him than living the life he was living. And I'm telling you, friend, prayer gives you the opportunity to live a life that's so much more supernatural. It's God's power coming on a natural life, and it's a supernatural experience. Prayer is an earthly license for heavenly interference. It gives God the opportunity to come in and touch the life of a man, to touch the life of a woman, to reveal his plan to him. And friends, when you walk in that plan, it's so spectacular and supernatural. It's amazing to see. It just flows. It just clicks. And the only way to find it is to be a man, be a woman of prayer. I'm telling you, friends, God wants it. And he knew in his heart, God's called me to more than this. I know there's a better life out there for me. And so he said he finally drew a line in the sand. Said, I'm getting my bearings. What's the next step? What's the next thing? He went before God and waited on him. He didn't say how long it took. For Jesus, it was 40 days. For Paul, it was 3 years. For David, I don't know how many months or however long he was back out there in the sheepfold before Goliath came about. But what we do know is this, they took their time. They took their time and they didn't act until they knew. And friends, I'm telling you, you got to take time in prayer. And he said through that time in prayer, the Lord dropped in his heart a university, and the Lord dropped in his heart the healing ministry, and the Lord dropped in his heart some of these other things. Remember Brother Hagin talking about the same thing. He said he was out traveling, going from church to church. He just said it seemed like his ministry was going in circles. He knew there was more for him. He said finally he came into a service and a prayer hit everyone in the room, a spirit of prayer, and everyone just started praying. He said he was preaching and saw everyone praying, so he assumed he might as well go down there and pray with them. He goes down there, starts praying, gets over deep in prayer, and he looks up and realizes with his finger he's drawn out a circle. And he saw him drawing out a circle, then he'd stop at the circle, then go back around. He said he'd go back around 50%. Then he'd go back around 25%. Then he'd go back around and just pick up right where he left off. And he said while he was doing it, the Lord spoke in his heart and said, that's what you're doing in ministry. That's what you're doing in life. You're just going in circles. He said, that's what's happening to you, just going in circles. I've got more for you than this. I've got more for you than this. There's a new level. There's something new I've called you to. And in that time of prayer, God gave him three steps. He said, number one, quit going to the churches. He said, hold meetings in different places that are public locations like hotel rooms. Call them all Faith Crusade and invite people from all denominations. And he said, go and print up books and start putting the lessons that you've written out over on the printed page. Then thirdly, he said, get over on the radio. And he talked about how those three steps, he started doing it. And that's when his ministry expanded. That's when his ministry grew. That's when it became dynamic. He said he never would have been who he was today if he hadn't had that time in prayer and gotten those three steps. Friend, I'm telling you, God's plan was for Brother Hagin, was for Oral Roberts to live more than what they were living, to experience more in life than what they were experiencing, to accomplish greatness. And it never would have happened had they not taken the time in prayer to find out what that plan was, to get their bearings. I'll close with this. Go over to the book of, go on the screens, go to the book of Revelations. And in your Bible, go over the book of Luke, and we'll close with this. I saw this today, and oh, it just stood out to me. The book of Luke, chapter 19. If on the screens, you can go to Revelations, chapter 3, and verse 20. Revelations, chapter 3, and verse 20. We're going to the book of Luke, Luke, chapter 19, and we're going to look at verse 41. In Revelations chapter 3 and verse 20, it's a common verse of scripture, but I want you to see it in this context. It's Jesus talking, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. This word sup, what it means is deep communion. Communion. Fellowship. I mean, to just sit down and hash out life. But notice he says, I'm coming. I'm knocking on the door. If any man will hear my voice, he's got to do something. He's got to let me in. He's got to open the door. And once he opens the door, I will come into him. And I'll sup with him. This is talking about prayer, friend. It's talking about that in your heart, God will come in different seasons of life and start knocking. You know there's something God wants to show you. And when you sense that, you got to take the time to pray. Prayer is opening up the door and say, Lord, I'm opening up my heart. Show me everything you want to show me. Lead me into everything you want to lead me in. But it's not going to happen unless you take the time to, one, hear his voice. And then once you hear that call, you got to open up the door. In the book of Luke, we see Jesus walking up on Jerusalem. And apparently he's walking from a distance. And he sees Jerusalem in verse 41, Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. It says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city of Jerusalem. And watch this, he wept over it. He looks over this city and he weeps over it. He starts weeping. Well, why is he weeping? He's going to tell us. Verse 42, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knewest not thy time of visitation. Jesus had come in the earth and ministered all throughout this city. And at every turn, they rejected him. At every turn, they didn't even perceive that it was God. You got some of the most religious people of the day looking Jesus, the Son of God, square in the eye and calling him a son of the devil. They didn't know. And Jesus was there to visit them. He was there to sup with them. He was there to walk with them. But they didn't perceive their time of visitation. They didn't know it. They were living life completely ignorant of the plan of God concerning them. And Jesus was saying, this is going to lead to punishment. He knew it. That's why he wept over it. He said it's going to lead to not one stone in this place not being tumbled over and fallen to the ground. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect your children. And it's not because I didn't come. It was because when I came, you didn't perceive that it was your time of visitation. Why didn't they perceive it? Why didn't they know? How could they not know this is Jesus? He's doing miracles. He's raising the dead. He's walking on water. He's doing everything to get their attention. He's taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeding thousands of people. How could they not see this is the Christ? I mean, it's so obvious, but they didn't see it. How did they not see it? I'll tell you why. Let's keep reading. Watch this. And he went into the temple there in Jerusalem, and began to cast them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. What are they doing? Everyone's seeking after money. Everyone's just trying to bring increase to themselves. He's saying, you made this a den of thieves. It should be a house of prayer. That's what prayer does, friend. That's what prayer does. People pray all the time, Lord, open up a window. Friend, he is all the time. Open up a door. He's opening them up all the time. Times of visitation. He's doing everything to get our attention. Over here. Over here. He's trying to show us what his plan is. But if we don't make our temple, we are the temple of the Lord now. If we don't make our temple, our life, a house of prayer, we will miss our time of visitation. And that's when all that struggle comes in our life. And that's when things in our life start getting overturned and all this turmoil starts coming in. It's because we missed our time of visitation. Not because he didn't come, but when he came, we didn't see it. And we didn't see it because we hadn't taken the time to pray. That's what happened to Paul. We read in Galatians chapter 1, God who called me from my mother's womb. He had a call even in his mother's womb to do what he wound up doing. But he wasted years of his life doing the complete opposite of the will of God. God throughout all of that time was pricking his heart. Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And finally, God came in the last way that he could come to get his attention. It was a time of visitation.
In that time of visitation, what was the question that Paul asked, then Saul? What did he ask? Lord, what do you want me to do? Friend, I'm telling you, you've got to pray that before you start praying for all of this other stuff. If you find out what he wants you to do, all the other stuff starts lining up, because his plan, it's already the blessed plan. In his vision, there's already the provision. What do you want me to do, Lord? Open up my heart. Show me what you want me to do. Take the time to wait on him. Well, how long do you wait? As long as you need to. It doesn't mean that you're spending day after day in consecutive prayer. No, what I'm talking about is 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, all throughout the day. Just, Lord, what do you want me to do? Thank you, Lord. I know your voice and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. I know there's something there, Lord. I know there's, show me what I need to see. Teach me what I need to know. You said you sent your Holy Spirit to show me things to come. Reveal to me what I need to walk in. Show me what I need to step in. As you take that time to pray and yield over to him and just wait patiently. Lord, I'm not making a move until you tell me. And then when he tells you, that's what you latch on to. I mean, that's what you pursue with all of your might. When you get that go-ahead and that green light to launch, that's when you grab a hold of it. Oh, and friends, when you do that, get ready for the ride of your life, because everything after that is supernatural. You've heard me say it before, and we'll mention it again, but I was praying at Rhema one night in a prayer group in Bible school. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, my desire for you from this point forward is that you never live a day after this in anything except answered prayer. Meaning from this point forward, you're praying out my plan. You're praying out my will for your life. And from this point forward, I want every day for you to wake up and realize you're living in answered prayer. Friend, I'm telling you, that's where the supernatural kind of life kicks in. Is when you wake up one day and live a couple of days consecutively in a row and nothing but answered prayer. Why? You've been shown the will of God. Now all that's left to do is walk in it. Get your bearings. Get your bearings. You know what I mean by that? Tune in with your heart. Get your bearings. What do I need to do, Lord? And friend, I'm telling you, he will show you. He will do it. But we got to take the time to ask. Take the time to sup with him. Take the time to let him in. Take the time to get in our prayer closet. Just wait. Wait on the Lord. Praying to pray. Praying to live. Lord, how do you want me to live? And friend, I'm telling you, he will come in. He will dine with you.